Good morning. I would like to remind you to take your phone, put it on silent at least, and if it's going to distract you, like phones do to most of us these days, you might consider just turning it off for the next hour, which is what I'm doing. Please listen for our prelude and get into an attitude of worship. Good morning again. Be joyful in the sight of the Lord. I was really excited when I got the bulletin and realized that our theme for this week is joy. And I had this whole thing figured out that I was going to talk about how, you know, we should attack our Christian faith with the joy that my new kitten has in everything that he does. And God nudged me just a little and to let me know that not everybody is as crazy about my new kitten as I am. So I promise this is the last you'll hear of it. But there are lots of opportunities for us to be joyful in the service of the Lord this week. The fall feast is Friday and Saturday, and concluding on Sunday morning in worship. So there are opportunities there for us. And even if, like me, you're working on Saturday, when most of those opportunities come along, there is worship here on Saturday night. And I don't think you need a ticket to get in. Our church is not like that. There is also an open house for the rescue mission that is today from 10 to 2. Doc Badger just turned 80 and is going to be here. So next Sunday after church, there will be an opportunity to celebrate that joy with him after church. There are also joys of service. The nominating committee is needing, what is it that I found, like 9 deacons and 6 elders or something like that. So if you know of someone who could fill those positions, or you would like to fill one of those positions if you feel called, please fill out the form for the nominating committee. Mike Ward has another joy for us of service.
It's pumpkin patch time. And it's going to be a tough sell this year. I happen to be in Ridley's on the east side of town, and they have about 6 cartons, big cardboard boxes, of every kind of pumpkin you can think of. Green, orange, ones with warts on them, multicolored ones. So over at Ridley's on this side, they have 8 big boxes, same thing. So we're going to have to be at our best to sell $20,000 worth of pumpkins. And that's where you guys come in. I have sign-up sheets, and they will be out in the foyer for snow people that can come and help cover up pumpkins when it's cold or snowy. Come on a short notice. There's no particular schedule other than it may happen one time in the whole month, or it may happen 10 times in the whole month. But we'll have to have some people to help do that. I have a sign-up sheet to remove pallets. I also have a sign-up sheet that to put pallets down. So we're going to do that on Sunday, put the pallets down on Sunday, September 30th. I'm still working on story time. If you'd like to read stories to the preschool kids, that's a big thing. And we need to do that again this year. And so far, we're hurting in that department. We're working on getting a coordinator. The lady that was first said that she was interested has said that she now has too many things on her plate. She's going to be out of town. And so you may get a phone call that says, we need your help. You know, sort of like those that have been in the military. What the first sergeant does is says, hey, you're on for such a day. At such a time. We're going to unload pumpkins on the 3rd of October. That's been confirmed by the pumpkin patch people. The truck will arrive between 4 and 5 o'clock. And the most important one of all is to sign up for where you can sell. Mondays are all taken by the Cub Scouts. I understand that Thursdays is what the preschool wants. Anything in between, the Boy Scouts usually do one of the weekends where we haven't made a decision which one we will do. They're all open. So this will be out in the foyer. Take time to write your name down. Be the first to be on the list. And, you know, we're going to have a good season, but we need a lot of help. And we have a few outside people that are going to be helping too, but this will be out up here in the foyer on Sundays. It will be down by the preschool during the week. It'll be around the scout area on Mondays. So, take time, look it over, and figure out when you fit into the schedule, and please sign up. This is, again, a First Christian Church function that we're well known for, and I'd hate for us to fail the community. So sign up and we will look for a successful patch. And I will be up here every Sunday till this thing is full. So thank you.
Greet your family. Reach out with the hand and the hug of Christian Fellowship. And then when we come back, we will be singing hymn number 15, verses 1, 3, and 5. And I promise not to talk about my cat again. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 5 of number 15. Join me in the call to worship. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing.
Everlasting.
they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee.
We are ransomed by the Lord. Let us come to God with singing.
Because of the Lord of Christ's love, everlasting joy shall be upon our heads.
By God's grace, in God's Spirit, let us worship with joy and prayers.
Peace like a river, joy like a fountain, love like an ocean. Lord, you fill us with gifts that spread life through our spirit and inspire us to spread lives through our community. Come, Lord Jesus, worship with us and within us. Help us to open our spirits to your joy so that our joy may water a thirsty world. Let your peace, your love, your joy flow like the waters of the world, flow like prayer from a devoted servant. May our joy lead us to prayer as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as you forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn of praise this morning is related to our fall theme of Live Your Weave. Number 495 in the red hymnal, you'll find the chorus for the song Weave that we will sing two times. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning. Hi, Blake. You have a T-Rex on your shirt today. That's pretty cool. And Mackenzie has on Mickey. Good morning. Good morning. I have some show and tell today. I'll pass these around so you all can see these. These are examples of prayer shawls that members of the congregation have made. They're different sizes and shapes. Some are rectangular, some are triangular. They're different colors. They're soft and warm. And our prayer shawl ministry is a way of supporting people when they're struggling. If somebody's having a hard time, if they're in the hospital, if someone they love has passed away and they're very sad, when we know of someone who needs some comfort and love and encouragement, we take a prayer shawl from the church and give it to that person to pray for them. What do you think, Mackenzie? That's going to keep you really warm. That prayer shawl's as big as she is. So sometimes when somebody's having a hard time, there are things that we can do that will encourage them and help them. Sometimes just talking to a friend, sitting with them and listening, giving them a chance to talk. When we pray for someone, it can help them very much. It can give them strength and courage and let them know that they're cared for. Spending time with someone who's in need and giving them a prayer shawl is one way that the church helps people who are hurting. So if you know someone who likes to knit or crochet, I have patterns I can give them if they want to make a prayer shawl. And if you ever know someone in your family or someone in the church or one of your friends who needs a prayer shawl, who's feeling really sad or lonely, be sure and let me know and we will get them a prayer shawl. Will you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love that comes in so many forms. We ask your blessing upon all people who may be in a wilderness season, who are wandering or lost or struggling. For those who are dwelling in darkness, God, we pray that your light will shine. Bless the prayer shawl ministry of First Christian Church to bring hope and joy to those who need it most. In God's name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. Thank you. As our children are finding their way to worship and wonder and the young disciples class, I'd encourage you to look at the back of the bulletin to see our prayer list today. As we share these names and these concerns, I invite you to take out a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card shower this morning is for Terry and Rick Black. We continue to extend prayers of sympathy to Terry at her mother's death. We give thanks to God for the life of Cleo Glasspool, and we pray for comfort for all who will miss her. We continue to pray for Amber French. We are thankful that she is with us, but she continues to really struggle to get sleep at night, and she's feeling foggy-headed and just still not functioning well. So please continue to pray for Amber this morning. Wanda Leeling was hospitalized this week. The decision was made that she will no longer have dialysis. She was placed on comfort care, and on Friday she was transferred to hospice. Peg Jackson will be taking her communion this afternoon. So if you want to write a prayer card for Wanda today, I'd encourage you to just hand it to Peg, and she will deliver those cards today. Your other prayer cards you can place in the offering. Absolutely. I don't know that she already has one, so please pick one to take to her. Yeah. The missionary we're praying for this morning is Kristen Wolf, who serves in Thailand. We're certainly praying for people affected by Hurricane Florence and by flooding and other storms around the world. Our regional prayer partners are the members of South Broadway Christian Church in Denver and their acting pastor, Dustin Adkins. There's a list at the back of the sanctuary. You're encouraged to sign and send prayer greetings to them. A praise to share this morning: a member of our congregation has friends who live in the D.C. area. Their names are Dave and Jean. Dave needed a kidney, and his wife wanted to donate a kidney, but she wasn't a match for her husband. So they participated in a program where Jean became a donor for someone else, and Dave received a kidney. The good news is that the procedure went very well. The kidney transfer for both of them happened in about an hour, and both are recovering well. And our member just wanted to give thanks for God working in this special way for Dave and Jean. We continue to pray for all of those who will be traveling here for Fall Feast, for final preparations for this great event. It is such a privilege and honor for our congregation to be hosting the Regional Assembly next weekend, to have our General Minister and President preach for us next Sunday morning. Even if you've not registered for the event, you are welcome to attend worship Friday and Saturday night. Worship begins both evenings at 7 p.m. You don't need to be a registered participant in Fall Feast. You are welcome to come. Are there other prayer concerns or joys this morning that we want to share today? Debbie. Part of the most significant witness that the sandwich ministry gives is not the peanut butter and jelly sandwich we hand to people, but the listening ear that our volunteers provide. As Debbie said, yesterday was a hard day. There were people with great needs. A homeless woman whose son died in a motorcycle accident, another woman who has raised her grandchildren since they were babies. Because of her age and other circumstances in the family, those children are being adopted, and she will not be able to see them again. And another person came to the sandwich ministry with a family member involved in a car accident, and there's litigation pending, and they simply can't afford lawyer fees. So all of those challenges that face people are often amplified when you're struggling just to get by and find food. It's a very stressful time in life for many in our community. So we pray for our sandwich ministry volunteers who give a listening ear, and we pray specifically for these three families Debbie has named today. Are there others this morning? Martha. Everyone affected by the hurricane, absolutely. Pat. And her name is Deb?
Yes.
Okay. Prayers for Deb at WBI and for her family. Erica.
Prayers for my dad, who's going to, just found out yesterday, he's going to surgery in the next 2 weeks for a herniation.
Prayers for Mike Ward, who'll need surgery in the next couple weeks. And it sounds like he should not be lifting pumpkins this year. So the sign-up sheet is all the more important. Let us bring all these prayers to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O Lord Jesus, you weave our lives together through the simple act of prayer. When we lift our hearts to you, naming concern for others in our world, Jesus, you bind our hearts together. We pray this day for Terry and Rick, for all of Cleo's family. We pray for those who know grief that is recent and raw and fresh and hard, and those for whom grief is a lingering memory. Lord, we ask your comfort upon families who know that loved ones are preparing to journey towards heaven. And we pray for peace for those in times of transition in all ways. Oh God, we lift to you prayers both for Billy Triplett and Wanda Leeling. We thank you that she is in hospice, receiving good comfort care, and that her family has traveled here to be with her. Lord, may every breath she takes be rooted in your peace. Holy God, we lift prayers for those who are in need of healing of many different kinds. We pray for Mike Ward as he faces surgery, for Amber French as she continues to struggle with anxiety and not sleeping at night. God, give her peace and rest. We pray for Deb, who struggled with a mental breakdown and is now getting treatment at WBI. Lord, we ask for comfort for her family, for understanding and support. We pray for those who were witnessed to at the Sandwich Ministry yesterday. We give thanks that they found a listening ear and compassionate hearts as well as food to eat. And God, we pray specifically for the three families that Debbie named this morning, affected by a motorcycle accident and a change in living conditions. Oh Lord, bless each one. We give you thanks, God, for friends Dave and Jean, and the gift of organ transplant and the ways in which it continues life. Lord, we pray for health for those who have received a new kidney. Oh God, we are mindful that while it is beautiful weather here in Casper, while we may even be tempted to complain that it's warm for September, we are reminded that others struggle with the forces of nature. We pray today especially for those affected by Hurricane Florence, communities that even today are standing in water, members whose homes have been blown away, washed off their foundations. We pray for churches that are meeting not in strong buildings, but in random shelters. Lord, for those for whom the future is uncertain because of the force of storms, we pray for courage. We pray that communities would come together and help one another. We know that the Week of Compassion Ministry is already on the ground responding to those in need. We ask your blessing upon all relief efforts by different agencies. Lord, we pray for those who are weathering storms of all kinds in their lives. Weather or homelessness, joblessness or hunger, grief or health. Lord, in the storms of life, may you be our rock, our strength. We pray for our disciple brothers and sisters at South Broadway Christian Church in Denver, for Dustin Adkins. We pray for our regional minister, Joanne Bell Haynes, for our general minister and president, Terry Horde Owens, as they prepare to travel here to Casper. We ask your blessing upon all disciples who will gather for a fall feast, that our time together might bring glory to you, as we are inspired to continue putting feet to our faith, to follow you, O Lord. May we be so filled with your Spirit that every day of our lives bears witness, O Christ, in your name. Amen. Thank you.
I meet with the fellowship quilters on Wednesday. Harriet Ames tells me I cannot call them my little old ladies anymore. She was horrified the first time she heard that, despite the fact that everyone in there has children my age. A central to that gathering is coffee and treats. At 10 o'clock, needles are down. Whether that's the hand needles of those women doing the quilting or the machines on a binding that's trying to rebel against the straight and narrow. It is a time for us to gather. Often, that circle of women with their cups and their zucchini breads is nothing more than friends sharing the news of kids and grandkids and gardens and complaining about the government. Sometimes it's more. Coffee and cobbler become a connecting thread that reminds us that we are sisters in Christ, that our support helps each of us to stand. That's going to be real important as we shorten that circle. Christ understood this. Bread and wine were his culture's equivalent of coffee and cobbler, of milk and cookies, of beer and chips. He takes them out of the ordinary and uses the everyday to stitch us into a community, to support us with his strength, and to infuse our lives with joy and laughter. Come to Christ's table. All are welcome. Our hymn is number 365, verses 1 and 2.
As we come to this table, our lives are stitched together, one another. Our hearts are joined together, even with those who aren't here. The quilters are going to miss Wanda Leeling because she's been one of them for a long time. The church will miss Wanda.
When we've had a funeral, Wanda's the one I call. And she calls people to bring bread and cookies, a meal to share with those who are grieving. I asked Wanda this week how long she's been in charge of the bereavement ministry. She said she started when Truce Llewellyn was pastor here. That's a long time, my friends. Part of the gift of faith is that when we come to the table and we share communion, we commune even with those who are not physically here. When Peg takes communion to Wanda this afternoon, she takes the love of our hearts and the love of this table. And in a few weeks, in God's time, we don't know when Wanda is in heaven and we come to this communion table, she will still be here with us. That's the gift that Jesus gave us when he gave us this meal. He gave us a way for our lives to be stitched together with those who have gone before and those who will come after. I rejoice in the faith that many decades from now, it is quite possible Mackenzie Grooms will stand in front of us as an elder at this very table. When we come here, we remember Jesus getting together with his friends for coffee and cobbler, for bread and wine, for a meal. On the night when they shared Passover, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to them and he gave it to us and he said, "This is my body." Jesus' body is both the bread and this holy moment of connection. "This is my body," Christ said. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life and death and resurrection, and we weave our lives together with the saints who have gone before and those who will come after. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Our gracious God, may the joy of being Christian be evident in our lives. Let the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup be for us a time of celebration, because Jesus has come and because he bids us to follow him. Grant to us a happy and outgoing faith, so others cannot help knowing that we are Christians by our love. Be present with us now so that we may be refreshed, renewed, and enabled to witness more effectively for you. Amen.
Thank you.
The needs of our church are real. The needs of God's people in the larger world are real. We give from our compassion for our community, knowing that our community is a world torn by storm and war and systematic bigotry. God loves a cheerful giver. Let your joy flow in the gifts of your time, your talents, and your treasures. The deacons will wait upon us. With me. Lord, consecrate these gifts to your service. Make them loaves and fishes to feed the bodies and the spirit of a world that hungers for your joy. In Jesus' holy name.
Well, after that song, I kind of wanted to skip coming up here. But being an old lady, I thought, oh, you better just walk. Now I'll be reading from the book of Isaiah. If you should like to follow with me, it's on page 663 in your Bible. The return of the redeemed to Zion. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of the jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. So thus ends the reading of the first this morning.
Our second reading today continues with the same text, Isaiah 35 in verse 8. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, and Arlen and Ethan for the music we have been blessed with today. Will you pray with me? Lord, when your Holy Spirit flows through our lives, we have reason to sing. And in those times when life is dry as a desert, even then, you bring us hope, which blesses us with joy. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that our lives might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The theme, Live Your Weave, has been inspired for us by our nominating committee. Over the next few weeks, you are still encouraged to turn in names of those that you think are gifted to serve in different ways in leadership in the church. Some of you have already received, and others will be receiving phone calls from the nominating committee asking you to serve in certain ways. The idea of living your weave is that each one of us has within us gifts that God has given us that when we live out in the context of community, our lives are woven together and God multiplies our efforts. A great example of that happened yesterday at the property cleanup day. Not everyone who came ever stood still in one place at the same time, so I'm not even sure how many folks there were here, at least a dozen. Some were here as early as the sandwich ministry crew before they took off, and others, Caldecker included, stayed until 6 o'clock last night. The work day was officially over and most people had taken off, but he was still mowing the church lawn. Thank you, Cal, for your dedicated efforts. Yesterday, bathrooms were painted, floors were scrubbed, extra vacuuming was done, repair work was made, wood was sanded and repaired, furniture was hauled out, which reminds me, on behalf of Cal, an ad for after worship today. If you didn't come to the work day yesterday, but you have a strong back, there are 3 dead couches downstairs that need to be carried out of the youth room into Cal's trailer to be hauled to the dump. We've already said a blessing upon those pieces of furniture, and we're sending them on their way to their great reward. They will be replaced after fall feast, and in the meantime, that room's going to become a dining area. So if you're young and strong, even if you're old and strong, if you got a good back, find Cal and pitch in. Yesterday, a lot of work got done with different tasks. I was intrigued by watching Martha Wallace paint a bathroom. You see, it's not the bathroom she adopted. She had already adopted a bathroom and painted it, and it was clean and perfect and beautiful. And at some point during the week, the minister was kind of lamenting that the people who'd adopted the downstairs women's restroom were just cleaning it. They weren't painting it. And I said that Martha's bathroom really looked so good, and the one downstairs kind of needed some attention. And I said, I think on Saturday I might have to paint the bathroom. Well, Martha, bless her heart, said, I'll come and help you. And then she thought about it, and she said, well, my son Dave's tall, so Dave and Martha are going to come. So yesterday, Amber and Martha and Dave painted the bathroom downstairs, and I did something else. What was fun about watching them work together was that Martha, you know, who is somewhat petite, had a roller, and she was really good at getting down by the baseboards and the bottom half of the wall, and her son Dave was up on a ladder, and she would hand him a fully loaded roller, and he would do all the way up to the ceiling. They made a great team. It was a good representation for me of how work gets done in the church. Some of us are good at the low stuff, and some are good at the high stuff. One person's job yesterday was polishing light switches and sharpening pencils. Never let anyone say, I can't do a job at a cleanup day. We'll find something for you. It was funny because the pencil sharpener person, I said, I was really saving this job for someone who showed up in case they were 80 years old. And she said, well, I almost qualify. When we work out of our gifts, there is joy. When we find that way to serve, that is something we can do that helps someone else, it's almost impossible not to smile at some point along the way. Even if you're dealing with a lawnmower or a broken pew or a bathroom, there is joy in being able to serve others and in being able to work together. That was somewhat in the back of my mind at the beginning of the week when I was focused on the theme of joy for today's service. One of the ways in which God weaves our lives together is through joy. And then as the week unfolded, I thought, well, I don't know about preaching on joy. After all, Wanda's going to hospice. Where's the joy in that? After all, Amber's still struggling with her anxiety needs our prayers. How can I talk about joy when someone is so sad and feeling broken? The first time I read Isaiah 35 at the beginning of the week, I was thinking about how it's such a beautiful text. There's all this joy.
And then as the week unfolded and I worked my way deeper into scripture, I realized Isaiah 35 isn't a description of what is, but a description of what will be. If you read Isaiah 34, it's pretty depressing. There's vindication and judgment and punishment upon the nations. There is heartache. There is land that is burned up. It is in the context of the Israelites being in exile that Isaiah 35 comes to us as a promise of joy. It's a reminder that as people of faith, joy is ours even when it's incomplete, even when it's the hoped-for future that will yet be. Isaiah 35 is a prophecy, a promise, an unveiling of God working in the here and now to restore joy to the broken, hope to the hopeless, light to those who dwell in darkness. It was when the Israelites were living far away from home that they heard these words of joy. It was when they had no place to worship that Isaiah told them to worship the Lord. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Think about when crocus bloom. Those tiny little bright flowers are often the very first to poke their head out of the snow. They come at the end of winter when it is so barren and depressing, when the wind has been blowing and the snow has fallen and turned crusty. That's when the crocus show up. When rain comes in the desert blooms, sometimes just for a short period of time. There's a certain form of cactus that only blooms at night, and only when the moon is full, and only one night a year. But what a fragrant blossom it is. A huge, beautiful white flower, opening to attract pollinating insects to come, do their work, and then the flower is gone. God's hope comes for us sometimes in hidden places, sometimes in the midst of despair, sometimes when we have almost given up and feel we're holding on by a thread, that's when God comes. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. In southern New Mexico, where I grew up in Alamogordo, it's about 70 miles from Las Cruces, where my sister and her family live. In between, there's flat, wide, barren wasteland, partly owned by White Sands Missile Range, and there's one mountain pass that sometimes closes in the winter because of snow. Two different times over the past 20 years, there's been a wildfire on that mountain pass. The cactus, the sparse grass, the desert plants have burned up and turned black. The first time I saw the waste left by that fire, my heart ached a bit. It made a barren land even more depressing. Even the soil seemed to be blackened. But a miraculous thing unfolded after that. Because of that fire, the next spring, poppies bloomed. That entire hillside was completely covered with bright orange blossoms. The poppy seeds lie buried in the soil until fire comes. It's only after the devastation of the wildfire that those poppies sprout up and bloom. They can lie dormant for years before blooming. I was reminded of the beauty of those poppies when Charles and I watched the local news. I'm a fan of the little segment called From the Ground Up, as kind of tips on gardening put together by the Wyoming Extension Office.
This week there was a little blurb warning you about puncture vines or goat heads. And it said that the seeds of those plants can lie dormant for 7 years. I thought, no wonder I can't get rid of them out of my backyard. I pull them up and next spring they're back and I pull them again. But the good news is I'm making progress. There are less than when we moved in. God works as persistently as stubborn weeds. God's hope lasts as long as buried poppy seed and even longer. Hope comes sometimes when we least expect it, and Isaiah's promise of joy blooms in the wilderness. So by the end of this week, after reading Isaiah 35 every day, I finally realized it truly is the best text for this morning. Because it's not a text that says you're a Christian, you have to be happy, you have some joy. It's a text that says even when life is hard and horrible, God is still present. God is waiting to fulfill that promise that will bring joy from within, to reveal again the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves us and saves us. Isaiah 35 is a promise of joy to be revealed. It's not a text given to people who are already happy and blessed in life. It's a text given to people who are struggling with depression and mental illness. It's a text given to people who've been diagnosed with cancer or brain tumors. It's a text given to people not on their wedding day when they're happy and blissful, but years down the road when a couple needs counseling or else they might face divorce. Isaiah 35 is given to us when we wander in the desert, when we are overwhelmed by the wilderness. That's when God comes to us to remind us of the joy we have in Christ and the precious gift of love that we share with one another when we allow our lives to be woven together, when we serve from a place of our gifts and realize others are serving from their giftedness, and together we can do so much more than when alone. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. There are times when we think about the way to heaven as a pathway that is narrow, with gates that must be chosen well. The good news of Isaiah is that God really wants us to get to heaven. And he hasn't hidden one little tiny narrow path. He's plowed a highway straight through the cross from our brokenness to the wholeness of heaven. The pathway is so wide, Isaiah says, that no traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. Have you ever made a wrong turn on a highway? Charles and I are getting ready to go back to Illinois for a wedding. I've been thinking recently about what it's like to drive in the middle of farm country. It's a little different than driving in Wyoming. In Wyoming, when you give someone directions, you say, oh, you want to go to Cody? Head west from town, drive 100 miles, and turn right when you get to Shoshone. You tell somebody back east that, they think you're crazy. And then they get in their car and they turn on the GPS and it says, drive 100 miles and turn right. In Illinois, the roads are a little different. They go in between all these little farm towns. One time, Charles was driving with a couple of our exchange students, and they had been on an interstate headed north from Bloomington. I have no idea what happened. It was late at night. I only heard the story later. But somehow, my husband had taken an exit. It was time to get back on the interstate. He got on the wrong side. He was headed home straight into what would have been oncoming traffic if it wasn't the middle of the night with nobody there. I think one of the boys finally said something about the do not enter signs. Charles figured it out, got turned around. They were all safe and fine. On the pathway of life, every single one of us sometimes makes a wrong turn.
Every single one of us sometimes forgets where we're going. Every single one of us would love to be happy and know joy every single day, but sometimes we're just not there. The good news is the holy way of God is a highway. It's big enough that even our wrong turns don't take us off the map. They just get us headed back to God. With a renewal of faith, following Christ, headed towards heaven. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. When the Israelites were in exile far from home, the prophet Isaiah gave them this promise. You're not dwelling in the wilderness forever. You get to go back home. As followers of Christ, this earth sometimes is like our wilderness. We feel lost and alone, overwhelmed, and know times of despair. But even on the worst day, the promise that Isaiah gave to the Israelites, the promise of God, is still given to us. We shall return home to the heart of Christ. We shall come with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. We shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Until that day comes, may we live faithfully, one with another, continuing to stitch our lives together in faith so that joy may be made complete. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is one that will be very familiar to you, though you may think we are singing it out of season. We're going to sing together, Joy to the World. It was not originally written as a Christmas hymn, though it is most often sung during Advent and the Christmas season. Joy to the World speaks of the coming of Christ our King. It is a foretelling of the future, when Christ will come again, and all people of God shall know great joy. If there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, who is moved to give your heart to Christ or to rededicate your life to God, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, Joy to the World, number 143. The congregation, please be seated. Coming forward this morning is Susie Sanford. Some of you will remember Libby Sanford, who graduated from high school, who was baptized here. Susie is Libby's mom. And we are so blessed to have Susie come forward today to place her membership in this congregation. She tells me that she feels like she has been wandering in the wilderness. And we are so glad that you are meeting other wanderers here, that you can find companions for the journey and no longer feel alone. And I encourage you after worship today to meet Susie and introduce yourselves, and then watch for her in the weeks ahead and get to know her and help her to feel welcome here at First Christian. Susie, I want to extend to you the right hand of Christian Fellowship and ask you the question of faith that has been asked through the ages by many believers. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you proclaim him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
May God bless you on that affirmation of faith, and I would ask the congregation to pray with me. Lord Jesus, we pray your blessing upon Susie. We thank you for the wandering path that has led her back to you, to the highway of faith. Oh God, we pray for peace in her life, and for support from this community of faith. Help us to be friends for Susie, brothers and sisters in Christ, supporters in whatever way she needs along her spiritual journey. Lord, bless her with peace and reaffirm her faith always, every day, O Christ, that you are there with her, our Savior and our Lord. And now, O God, we pray your blessing upon all who are gathered here. May we go forth as people of joy, whether we are walking in wilderness times or know our place on your pathway, your highway, your holy way of life. Lord, bless us to continue to live, to love, and to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Special order shoes.
Yep.
First,